If you have a Bible, turn to Isaiah 43, find verse 18. It's amazing that God of all gods chose to leave the glory of heaven and be born. Knowing that at the right time, he would die for the sins of the world. I have contemplated and thought through when Mary was holding that little baby, when she was feeding that little baby. She was holding Almighty God in her hands. Not just a baby, but God. The one and only God-man. The one and only Redeemer and Savior of the world. That puts a whole new perspective on Christmas. Verse 18 of the 43rd chapter of Isaiah says, "Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. How it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Let's pray. Father, your word is always true. And your word was given to accomplish a purpose. And may that purpose be accomplished in our lives today for your glory and for your honor. Lord, we thank you. You chose to leave the glory and honor of heaven and come to the nasty now and now and give us eternal life by dying on a cross for our sins. What you endured should have been given to us, but in your grace and in your mercy, you became our substitute. Help us remember. Help us practice our gathering to worship and honor you like the angels did on that night when they worshiped and honored you before the shepherds. Take this word now. Give us understanding, open our hearts, open our minds, move in us for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. A new thing. That's an organization in Huntington, West Virginia. This organization attracts mostly young people. When I say young people, I'm talking about folks in the age of the 20s and 30s. Individuals who are strung out on drugs and addicted. Individuals who are alcoholics, have been drinking since they were little kids. Individuals who are thieves, individuals who sleep around for money, individuals who have endured abuse from someone else, sometimes physical, sometimes mentally and with words. A new thing is an organization that helps them find Christ and helps them in the process of finding Christ to give them a new life so that they can do a new thing. They can live a new thing. They can practice a new thing. The Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Individuals give testimony after testimony how they've met Christ there and how, being discipled, Christ has changed and transformed their life. What used to be is not anymore. It's a part of the memory of the past. They no longer practice it. They no longer are hooked in it. They no longer are an alcoholic that partakes daily. They're an alcoholic that's quit. They're no longer a drug addict that partakes every day, no longer a drug addict that has to sell their body to buy drugs. They have been set free from that in Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ. A new thing. Isaiah said here to the children of Israel, do not remember your old things. He said, I'm going to do a new thing in your midst. A new thing that you're not aware of, new thing that you don't know about, a new thing that you've never heard of before. So this morning, for a little bit, I want to talk to you about a new thing. For Elkton Baptist Church, a new thing. Now, I've read your history as it's written back there on those papers. It's quite a history. You had a lot of folks attending Elkton Baptist Church at one time. I think one of the statements back there, that one time there were 345 people. Well, you didn't put them in this little building, but I understand. The community was different then. Time was different then, but people came. You know there are people all over the place around here. Now, I live on a dead-end road. And there's not a lot of, there's some folks there, but not a lot. But if you could drive across the lake from where I am on that dead-end road, there's little villages after village after village after village. And 90% or more of them don't go anywhere. And if they were to die, they'd go to hell. They need Jesus. They need to be in church. They need to be discipled. And I don't know nobody better than Elkton Baptist Church to do that. I don't think it's anybody else's job, but Elkton Baptist Church's job. I think we called to take the gospel to the world. They're part of it. So let's look at this. There's a promise here of a new thing. God promises to transcend their past. You see, the children of Israel are in Babylon, and the Babylonians have made them slaves. And God allowed that to happen because the children of Israel weren't being the people of God he called them to be. They had rejected him. They married outside of what he had prescribed. They had brought idols into their homes. They worshiped them as much as they did him, or more, if you can call it worship. They prayed to the idols. They looked to the idols to help them. But God's about to send them back to the land of Israel. Now, the last time he freed people that were slaves, the children of Israel, his very own people, he parted the Red Sea. He brought plagues, 10 of them, on Egypt. And it was an ugly time. A lot of death, a lot of stink. And they didn't have any of this free breeze stuff to make it smell better, I'll guarantee you. Well, you got frogs like they had frogs and they die, they stink. God said, don't think about that. If that's what you think is going to happen, it's not going to happen. God said, I'm not doing that again. I'm not parting no sea for you. I'm not sending no plagues to Babylon. There's going to be other nations that's going to come and attack Babylon, and the Medes and the Persians, they're going to have a heart of compassion for you, and they're going to let you go, and they're going to give you money to boot. Now, that hadn't happened before, but it's going to happen this time. And he said, don't think about all that stuff. Don't look at it that way. You know, sometimes we get so hooked up on tradition, we ain't got time for God to do anything new in our midst. We like doing things the way they are. Can I get a witness? Come on now. Don't mess my routine up in the morning. Runs my day. I don't want to try a new routine in the morning. I mean, me and Charlie Dog get along just fine with our routine. Don't mess it up. Church is the same way sometimes. We have our announcements at a certain time. We have the preacher move at a certain time. We have the song leader move at a certain time. We have this at a certain time. We have that at a certain time. Don't mess it up, preacher. I feel uncomfortable when you do. I know a preacher that shook up his church one time because he felt like they were going through the routine. So he got up and preached for a whole month before they sang. Now let me tell you, that stirred something up. But he got their attention. He got their attention. There's a church in England, Baptist church in England, and for a whole year, they didn't sing songs in the morning worship service. For a whole year, they just preached the word, hour long. Bring your own cushion. Listen to me. I don't know if God is going to do a new thing like this. But I know this. If God wants to do a new thing, he's God, and he's got a right to do a new thing anytime he wants to. Our responsibility is obedience. Nothing else. Obedience. God wants that to happen. He promises to transform things. They're no longer going to be slaves. They're going to be free. They're not going to have a slave master over them. They're not going to have somebody cracking the whip. You ever had a foreman or someone that was a supervisor that was a whip cracker? Ain't fun. Not fun at all. These folks couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't go out and find a new job because they were slaves. They belonged lock, stock, and barrel to the whip cracker. God said, I'm going to transform things. You're no longer going to be a slave. And sometimes you and I go through the activity of church so fast and so quick and so smooth, we forget about the fact who's the head of the church. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is talking and he's asking Peter questions. Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter finally said for the disciples, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew 16, 16. Jesus said in 17, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter, you came to know who I am because God moved back the blindfolders on you. You ever had that aha moment? You'd done something a certain way for a period of time, and then you look down at whatever you'd been doing, and you go, huh, I've been doing it the hard way. That's the kind of moment Simon had. And Jesus then said in verse 18, and I say unto thee, thou art Simon, Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's not being built upon Peter, it's being built upon the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. By being Jesus Christ, he is the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Establisher of the church. Amen. And a church that honors him and loves him and worships him will know he's the head of the church. He's always here when we gather. Where two or three believers come together, he is there. The Holy Spirit of God has sealed you and sealed me, and he's in us and he indwells us. He is present. Period. If you read the book of Revelation and the seven churches, he's walking up and down among the seven churches. He knows what's going on. And to the church at Ephesus, he said, man, you've forsaken your first love. What was that? That he's head of the church. They were doing great and mighty things. And he said, if you don't change, I'll shut you down. You can't find that church today. There's others of the seven still going. Ephesus is not. God has a purpose for that new thing. Look at verse 20. It says, the beast of the field shall honor me. What? The dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. God said, don't count on the past. Something new going to happen. I'm going to send you across the desert. Now, I have never been in a desert or someplace like that without water. Now, I've been in places where the water tasted bad and I hated it with a passion. I mean, I'd almost spit it out when I drank it. It just tastes terrible. It was, ugh. God said, these animals are going to worship me. Why? They're going to honor me. Why? I'm going to make a river in the desert. I'm going to put springs of water up in the desert. Why? Because my people are marching across the desert and they got to have sweet water to drink. Amen. And I'm going to take care of them. And in the process, the animals are going to be amazed. God said in Matthew 5, 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If your desire is holiness and righteousness, and you seek God on that, He'll bless you. He'll make you righteous. He'll make you holy in sanctification. I'm not talking about a position. I'm talking about a daily practice, daily activity. Being legally that way is one thing. Doing it daily is another thing. And He said, I'll make it happen. God every time wants you and me to be new again, holy again, righteous again. He wants us to be the springs of living water in the desert of life. And there's people all around us living in the desert of life. I'm not going to pick on anybody because I really don't know him real well. I know what they believe and I know what they practice. And I'm going to say that Amish man right now is living in a desert. And he needs a personal moment with Jesus Christ to give him insight of what to do and how to take care of those 11 kids in the process. I know I would. God wants to do a new thing in your life. I know you like your routine, you like your activities, but God has a purpose that you're still here. And your life is to bring Him glory and honor with how you live and how I live and how we operate as a church. Look at verse 21. He said, this people have I formed for myself that they may show forth my praise. Do you know Elkton Baptist Church is here in this spot, in this community, for the glory of Jesus Christ, for the honor of God? There ought to be a glow of the presence of God coming from this building that gets people's attention. Back in the days of the Welch Revival and other revivals, the power of God was so present that even when nobody was in the building, people drive by and the presence of God would touch them and they'd get saved. There's people that drive by that don't even stop when we're here. That presence of God, we've been formed by God for His praise, for His purpose, for His glory, for His honor. He's done it. And He did it through a baby born in Bethlehem and laid maybe in straw, we don't know. And shepherds who were not the people they were loved came and visited them. You and I are told in the Word of God that it doesn't matter what we've done or who we are to bring glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul said, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now, I've got fingers pointing at me. 10 of them, count them. 10 of them. Okay. When you're out in public and you get mad and throw a little tizzy, Do you do it for the glory of God? You say, I did that for the glory of God. Praise His name. I don't do it that way. And I haven't seen any Christian do it that way. We get under conviction if we get to thinking about it. And then we have to say, Lord, I messed up. I got to go tell that person I messed up. And you go talk to them and they say, oh, that wasn't nothing. I said, yeah, it was. I dishonored my Lord. That's a big thing. God wants us to honor Him. Look what he said in 1 Peter. I kind of love the way the King James words it. Verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Here's what I like, a peculiar people. He got that right. That you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Excuse me. And then he says, which in the past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now hath obtained mercy. You're a royal priesthood. You are a chosen generation. God chose you individually. He chose you as a married couple. He chose you as a widow or widower, to be united together, generation, plural, chosen people, plural. He could have said chosen person. Notice he said people. We are family. Gaithers have a song that said, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. I got brothers and sisters everywhere. Love. Care. We're chosen to give praises to God, to honor God with all that we do. Whether it's singing, whether it's going out and doing mission work, whether it's being a part of what's done in Wheatland with First Baptist Church and the Christmas program, whatever it is, we are to do it for His praise, His glory, His honor. God has a purpose in doing a new thing. God's purpose is to help us. Verse 25. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. God said to the children of Israel, and He says to you and me, I blotted out your sin. I blotted out your debt to me. I've removed it. And I won't remember it anymore. God has a memory like that. I don't. And I'm pretty sure you don't. Because we're human, I think. He doesn't remember our sin. 26, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. God removed what was keeping us from Him. But on a daily basis, you and I need cleansing. The best way I understand that is when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. And old Peter always opened his mouth and stuck both feet in. I think I got some of his genes. And in that process, he came to Peter, and Peter said, "You ain't washing my feet." Never. Jesus said, "Well, if I don't wash your feet, you don't got no part of me." And Jesus said that to Peter, and Peter said, "Well, you just wash my whole body." And Jesus said to Peter, "You don't need your body washed when you've been to the bathhouse and you come home. You have sandals on or barefooted and you're walking the dusty, nasty road where the sheep droppings and stuff are. When you get home, all you need to do is wash your feet because you've already been cleansed." And you and I daily walk and our feet get dirty and we just need them cleansed. That's why he said in 1 John 1:9, that if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins from all. What's A-L-L mean in Greek? All sins. All unrighteousness. We don't have to be rebathed. Some folks think you do. Jesus said, no. I just need to wash your feet. Clean them. Because you got nasty on them. Sometimes we as the people of God forget that. Sometimes we forget that we need corporate cleansing. When I say corporate, we are like a body to honor Christ. And we do things sometimes that happen in our midst, doesn't honor Him. And we never think to corporately cleanse us and pray, "God, take care of it, remove it, get rid of it. Because I know you're wanting to do a new thing in our midst. You want to help us bring people to Jesus. You're wanting us to disciple them. You're wanting us to see lives changed and transformed." Folks, it doesn't matter where you go in this United States. There's more in number because in some places there are more people. But there are alcoholics, drug addicts, prostitutes, you name it. I have found them all over. I pastored a church one time. The street ran out by the parking lot. And the first house down there was a prostitute. You can go down and knock on her door. She'd visit with you. But she was a prostitute. And I kept wondering, why, with all the kids around church and everything, why are they not arresting her? And I changed my mind about her being arrested when I found out that the police cars were making pretty regular visits there. And they'd stay for 30 minutes and then they'd leave. They were in business with her or something. Folks, they're everywhere. And they're crying for hope. They need hope and they need help and they need life. And we have that to give them. And we have to do it with our feet. Had a prof one time say to me, I asked him some questions about stuff that was going on in the church. He said, Pastor, when you walk in the barnyard, you're going to get something on your feet. And I said, yeah, I got you. Because I remember walking in the barnyard milking cows and bringing in the next group, and you always got something on your feet. And sometimes we just get stuff on our feet, and it has to be washed off. It's nobody's fault. God knows it. He knew Peter needed his feet washed. He knew Peter was going to deny him. He loved him the same. And when your feet have to be washed and you've done something like deny him or not witness for him or done something, he loves you just the same. Because he's always ready to do a new thing in your life. A new thing. Rivers of living water come flowing out. Because he's there. Every head bowed. In 1 Thessalonians, God tells us to pray without ceasing. That's a command. It's not an option. Now, that doesn't mean we're to walk around with our eyes closed trying to pray or driving down the road trying to pray with our eyes closed. That's not what that means. Praying always simply means when we have the opportunity during the day and even during the night, pray. You're going to get woke up in the night sometimes. You need to pray. You get a free time at the doctor's office, you need to bow your head and pray. You get a free time driving down the road, you can pray with the eyes open. I do. God honor that. I want to know, are you ready to make a commitment for God to do a new thing in your life? And in the midst of this body, we've got to pray and pray and obey and obey. And when we do, God in our midst will do a new thing. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, you told the children of Israel not to trust and rely upon what you'd done in the past because you're going to do something different this time. And sometimes we as your people trust what you did in the past and forget that you may want to do something new this time. You never healed anybody the same. You never cast out demons the same. People weren't given life. Resurrected the same. And you don't always move in the midst of a church the same, but you do move. Help us to pray and help us to obey. In Jesus' name. Amen.